119. Song of Encouragement will be number 319.
Brother Ron?
As we've been looking at what we are to add to our faith in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 says that we are to add perseverance to our faith. We've talked about the fact that we need to be virtuous individuals. We need to be able to withstand and fight on and press on regardless as to what might be done to us with a courageous zeal. We need to have knowledge to know what it is that we must do. We must have self-control to be able to keep ourselves in control, to control our anger, and to control other things that we have to keep under control of ourselves to not let it get out of hand. And then we must add perseverance to our faith. We have to persevere. Perseverance can be looked at it a couple of different ways in the scriptures. In fact, there's two different words for perseverance. The first one is macrothumia. Macrothumia means being long-tempered, including forbearance, long-suffering, and tolerance. And so to be patient, we understand that to be a tolerance that we have, to be long-suffering toward others. The second Greek word is hupomene. Hupomene means to abide under, steadfastness, perseverance, or endurance. And this is the one that we're going to be looking at from 2 Peter 1 and verse 6. It is the word hupomene, which means to persevere or to endure. Even though it will be a difficult thing, we're going to persevere. We're going to press on. We're going to endure throughout. And so as we look at this word hupomene today in 2 Peter 1 and verse 6, we're going to learn that we must not succumb under trial. Because we all have trials that we have to face. We all have difficulties in life that we have to deal with. And we must not give in to those. And that's what we're going to talk about when we talk about perseverance today. To learn that our perseverance should grow as we suffer trials. So we're all going to suffer them. So we need to grow as we do. We're going to look at Christ as our perfect example of what patience is all about, or what perseverance is all about. And we're going to see why it's important for us to develop perseverance. Why is that included in this? Why should we add that to our faith? We know why we should add knowledge to our faith. We need to grow in knowledge. We understand why we should grow in virtue, to be virtuous individuals, to bear up even though things might be hard, with a strong courage. We understand why we have to control ourselves. But why is it that we have to learn to persevere? That's what we're going to talk about today. So let's notice, first of all, that perseverance grows in trial. And we're going to look at the parable of the sower in order to make that point. In one particular soil of the parable of the soil of the sower, or the parable of the soils, we're going to look at the rocky soil. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, verses 5 through 6. This one particular soil that the seed is sown in. Matthew 13, beginning in verse 5, says, "Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away." Now this particular soil, the literal meaning of this soil, as it's laid out in this passage, is that the seed is able to go into the ground. Now, the wayside soil, the seed's not able to go in, and the birds come and eat it before it can sink into the ground. But this soil, it is able to go in. But once it goes into the earth, it's not hindered from going into the earth. It can go into the dirt. But the problem is, right under the dirt, There's a bed of rock. And if the bed of rock is under the dirt, and it may not even be seen because it's got that dirt on top of it, but the rock is underneath it, then what happens? Well, the seed's not able to go deep into the ground. As the seed starts to try to grow roots and to grow, it hits that rock, and it's not able to develop, and it will die. The plant's not strong enough to survive, because a plant has to have those strong roots holding it, and without that, it will die. And we're told what the problem is in verse 6, because it says, when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. So as the sun comes up and the root's not there to hold it, the sun scorches it, and it withers away, it dies. You know, if it doesn't have those deep roots, it's not able to get the moisture that it needs. It's not able to get that nourishment that it needs. And so the sun is able to burn up the plant. Well, when we look at the figurative meaning of that, we go over to Matthew chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. It says, "But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy." Now, we sing these individuals, and maybe we were one of these individuals where we heard the word of God and we immediately received it. You know, again, unlike those who fell on the wayside soil, there's some, the word goes in one ear and out the other. They don't care to hear anymore. They don't care to do anything about it. But this particular soil, it goes into the hearts of men, and men are thankful for it, and men love it, and men do something about it. Men will become Christians based upon the word that they hear. And yet here's the problem in verse 21. "Yet he who has no root in himself but endures only for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." So one starts to be persecuted. One starts to have trials and tribulations and troubles and struggles. Then that word which was in their hearts goes away. And it's not deeply rooted in them is the problem. Like it hits that bed of rock and it can't grow those deep roots and receive nourishment. One who receives the word of God and gladly receives it with joy and becomes a Christian, and yet they don't have those developed roots in them, it doesn't mean what it should to them. And when something difficult comes along, it causes them to fall away. And we're told what that is. The first one it says is tribulation. And verse 21 mentions the tribulation, "for when tribulation arises." But we look at Acts chapter 14 and verse 22. Acts chapter 14 and verse 22. We're going to look at a couple of verses in regard to tribulation arising. It says in verse 22, "strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." Now that should be expected. We become Christians, we should be expected to have tribulations. And it says many tribulations will happen if you enter the kingdom of God. Well, we look in Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. Again, another example. It says, "and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations." And so not only are we going to have many tribulations, we're going to glory in tribulations. Why? It says, "knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope." And we're going to go back to this passage later in the lesson. But for now, just notice that tribulation, when you have tribulation, that we are to glory in those tribulations. Well, then we look in Luke's account, in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Find out more about tribulation here. It says, "then he said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow him." So, if we're going to be Christians, we're going to take up our cross and we're going to follow him. And this, if we're going to be followers of Christ, then we must be willing to do that. Tribulations come. Is that going to stop us from taking up our cross and following him? No. We're going to do that anyway. We're going to press on anyway. And in chapter 14 and verse 27, 14 and verse 27, whoever does not bear up his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You have tribulations? So what? You take up your cross, you bear your cross, you follow him. If you're not willing to do that, then you will not be truly his disciple. Christianity demands cross bearing. Yeah, troubles arise, tribulations arise, but it demands us bearing our crosses. And we understand that we must experience tribulation as we live the Christian life. Well, the other word is persecution in verse 21. And we understand that we're going to be persecuted as Christians, that people are going to say things to us that are going to be hurt our feelings, that are going to make us feel bad about ourselves. They're not going to like us very much. They're going to put us down for being Christians. That's a part of it. That comes with the territory. It says persecutions will come. And yet people who don't have those deep roots, they can't withstand persecution. The minute someone starts picking at them and putting them down for being a Christian, they can't handle that. And they wither away and they die. Luke's account adds one more to this list. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 13, tribulation and persecution. And then Luke 8 and verse 13, it says, "But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away." So that's the third one. Temptation comes. People are tempted. We're tempted to do wrong. We're tempted to do evil. Satan comes and he tempts us to do things that we should not do. Temptation occurs. Again, when people are tempted, if they don't have the deep roots, they succumb to that temptation and it causes them to fall away. We Christians who cannot endure trials will fall away more often than not. Weak Christians will not endure when the trials come, and therefore they will not be able to grow, and they will wither away. And so that's why Peter says you develop perseverance. You develop being able to bear up under these trials and press on and don't give up, and you endure these temptations and these trials and these persecutions as they come. Now we have examples of that, and one example of that, which we often talk about in regard to perseverance, is Job. We look in the book of James, James chapter 5 and verse 11. James chapter 5 and verse 11. James refers to Job. And what's interesting about this passage is, remember those two words, macrothumia, the one we're not talking about, hypomene is the one we are talking about. This passage has both of those words in it. And so when we look at Job in verses 7 through 10, it uses the word macrothumia, meaning that in verse 7, "Be patient, brethren," which is the macrothumia, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain, as it says. You also be patient. That word throughout that passage is macrothumia. Then when you come to verse 11, that's hypomene. "Indeed, we count them blessed who endure." New King James Version translates it "endure." So it's the endurance that we're talking about. And then it gives the example of Job. "You have heard of the perseverance of Job." That's the hypomene of Job. "And seeing the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." And we understand the story of Job and what happened, where God allowed Satan to take everything away from him, his family, his possessions, and even his health. And then after he had to endure that for a period of time, Job persevered through it. He didn't give up. He pressed on. He kept on. He persevered. And then what happened at the very end? Well, God gave him back even more than what he had before. This is the story of Job and his perseverance, his hypomene, as we're discussing. Well, this is the kind of perseverance that we must have even when we have trials. You think about these things that Job endured. It was trials. Losing your family to death, that's a trial he had to go through, a difficult time in his life. Losing all of his possessions, that's a trial. You know, if we lost all of our money or lost our possessions, we would see that as a trial that we are having to deal with. And we all go through things that causes us to have trials of various stages in various ways. Well, Job went through that. And as he endured with patience, we too must also endure and have patience through all of this. Bear fruit with patience. No matter what comes upon us, we're going to bear fruit for the Lord. And we know that if we don't do that, then we will be cut off and we will be burned in the fire. We must endure tribulation. We must endure persecution. We must endure temptation so that we can bear fruit. If we don't get through those things and deal with those things in the way that God will have us to do, we're not going to bear fruit. Instead, we're going to wither and die. That's back to the parable that we looked at. You think about a servant who is mistreated. And that's the example in 1 Peter 2 and verse 20. If a servant or a slave is mistreated, how are they supposed to deal with that? What are they supposed to do in regard to that? Well, they must endure. They must endure and patiently get through it. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. 1 Peter 2 and verse 20. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults you take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. And of course, we can relate that to treating of one another. If we're mistreated, how are we supposed to take it? We're supposed to take it patiently. And that's the point for us. As they had the slave-master relationship, whatever relationship we have, we endure mistreatment patiently. If we do that, if we learn to be patient, then patience will perfect us. James chapter 1 and verse 4, James chapter 1 and verse 4 says, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Now, if you back up and look at all of this, verse 2, "Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Remember, we saw that earlier, that we count it joy when we fall into trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And then what does patience do? "Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." This is all what we have to add, what we have to add to our faith. This kind of patience, this kind of endurance. We can't be patient to the perfect degree. We understand that. We can't be perfect. We can't endure to the perfect degree. We're going to succumb to temptation. We're not always going to be thrilled that we're going through trials. But as we become mature Christians, if we endure the trials and the tribulations and the sufferings, then that will increase our patience. Help us to learn to persevere more and more, which is what God wants of us. Well, the perfect example, we looked at the example of Job. And that's a great example. When we turn to the book of Job and read that, it's a great example of perseverance. But the perfect example of that is Jesus Christ. And we look at some passages in regard to that. Look in Hebrews 12. Verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. The Hebrew writer says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance." You see the word there, endurance, that's patience. "The race that is set before us." How do we run that race? How do we endure through this race? Verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. There it is. How are we supposed to run? We're to run with endurance. Who do we look to for that? We look to Christ. Why do we look to Christ for that? Because he endured the cross. The perfect example of endurance. And it says he, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, for consider him who what? Who endured such hostility from sinners. So we endure because Christ endured the cross and because Christ endured hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. How do we keep from being weary and discouraged? The only way to keep from being weary and discouraged is to look to Christ, look at his perfect example of enduring the cross and his perfect example of enduring such hostility from sinners. Imagine what he went through. Being taken by lawless hands and drugged and beaten and dragged to the cross and hung on the cross and spit upon and mocked. He went through all this. In order to do that, he had to endure. He had to bear up and press on and not give up and not give in. And he had to make the determination that he was going to do the right thing despite all these things. That's the virtue that we talked about. And then he had to persevere through it all. That's how we have to be as we endure our trials. You know, you think about your trials. I think about my trials. And we think about what Jesus went through. What kind of trials do we have compared to that? Our trials are nothing compared to what he had to go through. Where he died with a death that was reserved for slaves and criminals. And yet Jesus allowed men to arrest him and to beat him and crucify him. It says he despised the shame, meaning that it was a shameful death, but he went through it anyway. He rose above his feelings. He did the will of his Father. And he demonstrated perseverance in doing all of that, enduring hostility from sinners against himself. We should keep all of these things in mind when we start to become weary and discouraged. Why are we weary? Why are we discouraged? When Christ, we look at him and we see that our problems are not nearly as bad as Jesus' were. And to think, not only did he have to go through the arrest and the mistreatment, and then have to go through the death of the cross, he had to go through everything that we have to go through. So he had to deal with life as we have to deal with life. And on top of that, he had his death on the cruel cross which he faced. Jesus had to deal with death of loved ones. You know, people who he loved came along and they died, and he had to bury them. He had to go to their funerals. He had to deal with sickness. You know, Jesus would have gotten sick as we get sick. Stomach bugs, upper respiratory, whatever it is that we have, he would have had to deal with that. He had to deal with headaches. He had to deal with physical annoyances. With whatever body issues or problems he might have had. Maybe as he was walking along, may have sprained an ankle. He had to deal with the kind of problems and difficulties that we have. And yet he also had to endure the cross. Well, then we look in 1 Peter 2, another example that he left us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. There it is. He's our example. That you should follow in his steps. How should we follow in his steps? Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. But what happened? Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. What did Jesus do? What's his example for us? Jesus left us an example by his suffering. He left us an example by living a perfect life. Left us an example of suffering a wrongful death. And he took everything that he did, that was done to him, he took that without retaliation. That's an example, a perfect example of perseverance, which is expected of us, which we must do as we try to live Christian lives. Well, we also look in Isaiah 53 and verse 7, the prophecy about Christ's coming and about his death, about his suffering on the cross. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 7 says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was afflicted. He suffered trials, persecution, troubles, difficulties, and yet he opened not his mouth. Taken to the cross like a lamb to the slaughter, and yet he was silent. So Jesus endured, you see. He endured the cross. He endured being taken to the cross. He bore up with patience. He persevered through the process. He persevered through his murder. And this is a perfect example of how we should deal with persecution, trials, and suffering. Well, then we ask ourselves the question, why must we add perseverance to our faith? Why do we have to do that? Well, back to Romans chapter 5 again. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 4. Let's look at this process and how it all works. In Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 4, it leads us to something very important that we all have to have. Romans 5 and verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Okay, we go through tribulation. It helps us to obtain perseverance. We persevere through that. What does perseverance lead to? Perseverance leads to character. And then character, hope. And what does hope do? Well, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in the hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. We have the hope of what? We have the hope of heaven. We have the hope of salvation. And where does that all begin? Where does the hope begin? It begins with our tribulation and us persevering through our tribulation and producing character in us. The King James Version says experience. The New American Standard Bible, I really like. It says approved character. That's what it really builds in us, an approved character, an experience. So tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance produces this approved character, and this approved character produces hope. So why should we rejoice in our tribulation? Because it produces hope. And we have to have hope in order to have any chance of getting to heaven. That's what we're wanting. That's what we're desiring. That's what we're reaching forward to. That's the hope that we have, is heaven. Well, we also can look at another passage in Romans. Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. And look at this process. Romans 2, beginning in verse 5. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation in the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Okay, what do we do? Well, it says that we have patient continuance, and we develop that through doing good. We're seeking for glory, honor, and immortality. And what does that lead to, according to verse 7? Eternal life. So there it is again. It's our hope. Patience goes to hope. Hope is eternal life. That's what we all desire. That's what we're all striving for. And then we look in what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. It says, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." I like to use this passage, this verse, on the last slide when I put the plan of salvation on, the fact that we are to endure. And that's the idea. After we become Christians, we have need of endurance. After we've been saved from our sins, after we've done the will of God, we must continue to endure. Don't give up. Press on. Push on. Endure through it all. Stay strong and persevere. When we hope for heaven, it's going to cause us to be willing to wait for it. That's the perseverance. That's the endurance. We're going to persevere. We're going to endure. Look back with me in Romans chapter 8 again. Romans 8 and verse 25 says, "But if we hope," there's the hope, "if we hope for what we do not see," so we're hoping for heaven, "we eagerly wait for it." We're waiting for heaven. How? With perseverance. That's again the process that it takes. We hope for something we don't see, so we're willing to wait for that which we don't see, and we're going to be willing to persevere through that. That means our hope will sustain us in the trials we face. It'll sustain us through the persecutions that we face, through the troubles, through the struggles. Hope will help us deal with all of that. And this is what hope will ultimately do in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. As we are patiently waiting, as we are hoping for heaven, Hebrews 6 and verse 19 says this, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil." It is our anchor. It's our anchor. We persevere. We press on. And we are anchored so that we will receive heaven, which we're waiting for someday. And we persevere through everything so that we can obtain that. Let's have patience when dealing with the difficulties of life. Let's have patience as Job had patience. Let's have patience as Christ had patience. Because if we endure, then we will have a home in heaven. That's the lesson for us. I hope that we understand that and we will live according to that so that we can receive that someday. If you haven't yet become a Christian, we urge you to. We want you to become right with the Lord. We want you to repent of your sins and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. If you don't have the hope of heaven, we want you to have the hope of heaven. We want you to start the process, endure, so that you can receive heaven someday. Won't you begin living for the Lord? If you're already a Christian, but you have sin in your life, we urge you to repent of it. We urge you to correct your life. We urge you to pray to the Lord and ask Him to forgive you of your sins. He certainly is willing to do that. We're here to pray with you. We're here to help you in any way you need. Won't you come now while we stand and sing?